says, screaming, God is really among you. The person getting the prophecy will bow, worship, shout, God is in thy midst. So we want to find out. So what is the spirit of prophecy? Okay, let's go into the book of Revelation, chapter 19, verse 10. The Bible says, at this I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, do not do that. I'm a fellow servant with you and with your brothers and sisters who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for it is the spirit of prophecy who bears testimony to Jesus. Now let's go back to King James Version. All right, NKJV. Now the Bible says, this was an angel that appeared to John. Now the scripture says, now let's go. And I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, see that you do not do that. I am a fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So we are trying to find out. So what is this spirit of prophecy? The Bible says, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. But before that, the Bible says, worship God. So if we conclude everything, the spirit of prophecy is worship. You didn't hear me. The angel said, worship God, for the spirit of, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of what? Prophecy. Worship God. Worship God. Then the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14, if one is giving prophecy, prophecy will take people to what? Worship. To worship. The Bible says prophecy will take people to worship. So if there is a ministry that must be so much deep into worship, is the ministry of prophecy. People in the prophetic ministry must be worshipers, because the spirit of prophecy is worship. Are you here? So when you hear me saying, let's worship, let's worship, let's worship, because it is the fuel. Worship God. Now, let me just give you a very important part. Let me give you a very important part. First, let's go to 2 Chronicles 20. From verse 20, we see a prophet being involved here, and he's giving a prophecy. So they rose early in the morning and went out in the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. That's okay. So believe in prophets, you shall prosper. What was the prophet telling them to do? Let's go verse 21. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness. And they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. In verse 22, now when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon. But do you understand the story? The story is that the prophet had told them, if you want to win the battle, worship. Worship. This kind of worship, which is led in a prophetic ministry, is known as prophetic worship. If we do this kind of worship, battles are won. Enemies are defeated. Diseases can disappear. When we engage in the realm of the prophetic worship, it's not just a worship. It is the testament, the testimony of Jesus. It is a testimony of Jesus. When we bow to God, when we worship to God, The Bible says it is the testimony of Jesus. It is the testimony of Jesus. Which testimony? When you go into Revelation 12, from verse 10, what does the Bible say? Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation, strength, and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. In verse 11, and they overcame him. By what? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. What's the word of their testimony? Prophecy. And what's the spirit of that prophecy? It's worship. Worship. If you see a prophet who prophesies and is not a worshiper, he's fake. Because prophets, their main duty is to make people fall and worship God. The reason Elijah appeared was to make the people of Israel who had removed their faith in God and put in other gods, put back their faith to worship Yahweh. So the prophetic will lead people to worship God. There are some people are watching me now. They used to worship ancestors. But because of this ministry, they're worshiping God. Amen. There are people who are believing in juju, in magicians. But because they see, okay. To them, they thought only magicians and witch doctors can predict. And until they met Major One, who could tell them from A to Z. They said, no, shut up. I will worship God. The spirit of prophecy is worship. You know, the word of the Lord says, when Paul, you hear it? And Silas were busy worshiping, something happened. See, this is prophetic worship. When you begin to worship and some gates begin to open, some chains begin to fall. Just worshiping God, just praising God. I know people love prayer. But worship, if you know worship, is the spirit of prophecy. There is something you prophesy through that worship. Can you imagine Jesus comes at the grave? And he stands there and then there's Lazarus inside. The Bible says Jesus didn't say, I command Lazarus, come out. He said, Father, thank you. Thank you because you always hear my prayer. Thank you because you heard me. Then he said, Lazarus, come out. Do you understand this? The spirit of prophecy is worship. What you want to prophesy, what you want to happen, worship. Can you imagine? People are stranded. They have no food. And Jesus says, tell everybody to sit down. What do you have? They say, we have 5 loaves of bread. He said, bring them to me. And 3 fish. He said, bring them. He takes them. He doesn't say, Father, multiply them. The Bible says he gave thanks. Worship. And he said, give them. Can you imagine tonight? Just worshiping, just thanking God. Say, God, I thank you. I honor you, Father, King of glory. I give you praise because it is done. I know you never fail. I know you are on the throne. I know you are in authority. I know you are in full control over the affair. I know, God, you have never disappointed me. Just worshiping him. Sometimes not even because you have a problem. But worshiping him as who he is. Somebody said to me, the person said, I stopped praying nowadays. I said, why did you stop praying? He said, I stopped praying because I feel like God doesn't answer me. I'm telling you, I think it was, was it last week? Last week, right? When the person said, last week, the person said, I was with my son. The person said, I stopped praying. Why did you stop praying? He said, I think God doesn't answer me. If we pray because we want God to answer us, then we have got a wrong way. No wonder God is testing us by not answering us. Because God knows we are praying because we want something. We worship God and we say whether he will save us from the furnace of fire or he will not, but we will not bow. We will not worship to any other God. We worship God not because he will save us from the lions. Let me tell you something. Do you know God can actually come to encourage you to continue suffering? Do you hear me? When Jesus was praying and he was seeing his death and how he would suffer, God sent Moses and Elijah to encourage him. Not to redeem him out. At some point in time when he was praying, an angel also came to encourage him. To say there is something bad coming, but you will face it. He said, keep, don't worry. You will go through this and you will resurrect. It's not all the times angels will come, God will come to take us out. Sometimes they just come to, the Holy Spirit will just encourage you. To say, stand strong, you will walk out. Stand strong, you will pass through this. Am I communicating to you? So it's not all the times you feel like, ah, I want, oh, God is not taking me out of this situation. No, sometimes he will not take you out. He will allow you to go into the fire. The only thing he will do is to stop the fire from burning you. He will allow you to go into the lions. Oh, Father, Lord, I rebuke, please, God. I mustn't enter into the lions. Then he will allow you to enter. The only thing he will do is to stop the lions, to remove the appetite, to change them from carnivores to herbivores. All of a sudden, they don't eat meat. They begin to eat grass. Am I talking to somebody here? So we have those people who think, he must deliver me. He must take me out. Sometimes God is just going to allow you to go through it. Can you imagine Jesus? God says, no, I want to take you out. And you will see Moses and Elijah, and you are praying on a mountain, and you are seeing your death, and you are seeing how they will be whipping you, how they will make you carry a cross. You are seeing it in a vision, and then you see, boom, Elijah is there. Moses is there. You think they have come here to deliver me, to stop it. Sometimes Major One will not be sent in your life to deliver you. He will just come with a teaching to strengthen you. To say, at this moment you are passing through, in this situation you are facing, just be strong. Be strong. Something will happen. Can you imagine this? A prophet comes to you and says, daughter, you will face it. But be strong. Do you know there is an animal called the honey badger? It's called a honey badger. Others they call it a honey badger. It's an inch of tomato, tomato. Water, water. Whatever. But I hear this. So the honey badger is an animal, very small. All right, maybe help me just to show it on the TV. Just show the picture of a honey badger. This animal is very small. If I say small, it's small. It's in a group of cats. Do you understand? But it fears nobody, including lions. You know lions as kings, but when they meet a honey badger, there is a fierce battle and lions give up. It does not fear any animal. And too small, very small. You say very small. And there is no animal that can defeat it. The only animal in the world that is never defeated is a honey badger. And there's only one reason why. The skin is so tough and so strong. And the attitude, as if it can kill a lion. It will be fighting with a lion as if it can kill the lion. Lion will try biting it, shake it, Leave it there. It's still jumping up and down, attacking the legs. Hanebeja. But that's not the story. The story is when God was telling Moses to make the Ark of the Covenant, he said it must be covered with a skin of a hanebeja. Do you understand this? The hanebeja, it is actually in the Guinness Book of Record. Now, if you Google it, it's on the Guinness Book of Record. That is the toughest skin. Nothing penetrates it. Snakes does nothing. Look at it. Look at it on the screen. That animal, it covers the Ark of the Covenant. So if God wants to put his glory, because in the Ark of the Covenant, there was his glory. Do you understand? God cannot cover his glory with soft skin people. If you want God to put his glory in you, you must be a tough skin. Weapons will be coming everywhere. These coming from this direction, hitting you, they don't penetrate. Tough skin. Say, honey, beja. You need to hear me. So God said, I want this animal. I want this animal. And when God was designing a shoe for the people of Israel, he said, the shoes you'll be making as you'll be moving in the desert, it must come from the hanebeja. For 40 years, no changing of shoes. The shoes in the desert. You know, you are not getting on trying to do. Go on the internet. I want to share much tonight because it's part of my mentorship tomorrow. Oh, I'm talking to somebody here. Say, hanebeja. Check it. You go on YouTube, do your own research, and just Google hanebeja versus lion. There is a fierce battle. You see, if I say small, it's like a cat. It's too small, very small. But the lion gets shocked after biting it, shaking it, leaving there, even a crocodile. Look at it there. How it fights with the lions. Look on your screen. That's hanebeja. Look at how small it is. A lion has to bow to fight because it's too small. The lion has to bow to be in the same position to fight. But get this. Are you here? The Bible says God used the skin of that animal to cover the Ark of the Covenant. When God finished, when they did all the everything, they said, now it must be covered with that skin. And God was inside. God is not in people with the soft skins. No wonder people who God uses, check them. They'll be fighting battles and they'll come on the pulpit and they'll be laughing. It's like as if nothing is happening. A lion will attack it as if nothing is happening. We'll be jumping up and down. Hallelujah. And you're passing through battles. Hanebeja. Look at how many lions are there. It is always fighting with big animals. It doesn't fight with small animals. You will not see a hanebeja fighting with small animals. It fights with big animals. And it's called hanebeja. Do you know why? It goes where there are bees and start eating honey. Bees will be biting everywhere, just eating honey. It will finish eating. All bees will finish biting until they are tired, feeling nothing. Tough skinned. And the God says, I have chosen this animal to cover my glory. Are you here? I've chosen this animal to cover my glory. God didn't choose a skin of a sheep. As nice as sheep is. God said, now, as beautiful as sheep is, God said, I will look at the ugly animal. Look how ugly it is. And God says, my glory will be inside. Because God is looking for tough people. Not people says, I've been fasting. Look at it. Look at how bees are trying to bite it. And it's enjoying. That's what we do. We enjoy when people are fighting us. Can you imagine someone says, no, I'm tired. Do not get tired. Be encouraged. I came here tonight to tell you that God puts his glory inside those people who have a tough skin. Those who are vicious, those people who don't fear anybody, whether you're a lion or a crocodile, whether you're a bee, you will do nothing to me. Am I talking to somebody? So sometimes, I want you to hear this, sometimes God will not take you out of the battle. He will even encourage you to face it. Like, I don't even know why God is allowing me to go through this. Yeah, you really don't know why. So just to worship him. But you don't know why. Can you imagine if Jesus Christ died with a natural death? So he had to be killed and resurrected. God had to allow it. And some of you, what you're passing through now, God knows what he's doing. People are laughing at you. People are talking nonsense about you. People are saying this about you. Then boom, a miracle. Are you here, somebody? Yes. Do you know what people are saying about David? Do you know what people are saying about David? They are saying a rebellious son. His own brother says, you too much pride. Can you imagine? You came here for food, to give us food. Now all of a sudden you have changed your mind. You are saying you're going to kill Goliath. But guess this. I want to hear you say these words. Say, I worship God in every situation. Say it again. Say, I thank God in every situation. Say, he alone will take me out. He alone will give me victory. Say it louder. He alone will give me victory. Say, I bow on my knees. I worship him. I give him all the praise. I give him all the honor. Father, I pray for everyone who's worshiping you now. I pray for them that as they worship you, in their worship, manifest your power and answer their prayer. In Jesus' name, say amen.